Well, we'll talk a little bit tonight. If you would, open your Bible up. Turn to the book of James. You know, as I was saying, we'll take just a few minutes. The first year and a half we were there, we worked with the teenagers through the book of Colossians, learning how growing up in a small town, you have to be careful. Whether you're in a small town, big town, whatever, when you go out in public, how you carry yourself and how you act. And that involved growing up in a small town. Somebody's always watching you. People won't remember the 100 things you done wrong. Right, they're going to remember the one thing you done wrong. And if they know that you come from a Christian family, they're always looking for that one thing. And they will never let it go. So we teach them, be who you are for God at church, at home, and in public. Because you carry your family's name with you. Not only do you carry your family's name with you, if you're a born-again Christian, you carry God's name with you everywhere you go. And you represent Him ultimately in everything that you say and do. So when we got done with that, we went into James, learning how to communicate with one another and edify one another instead of, oh, look at that one. They look horrible. Oh, did you see what they were wearing yesterday? Did you see the drunk on the corner? Did you see the homeless man on the corner, the guy hitchhiking? Because somebody's looking for you to make that mistake and start bashing or badmouthing someone. So along with that, we kind of mix it up some. So they'll learn about that for a while, and then I'll throw something else in on them. And I threw this in on them a few months ago. Faith, patience, and wisdom. And it comes out of the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 9. We'll start reading right there. And if all who can and will stand tonight for the reading of God's word. And we'll read a little bit of scripture here, and we'll go through there and I'll share with you tonight what I share with them through God's grace, and just so you can see what God's doing there. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not the man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for being here amongst this people here, Lord, and just coming and sitting with us. God, we ask you, Lord, tonight you take this little bit of scripture. God, Lord, that we dive into it, Lord, that we rightly divide it. God, Lord, that we learn a little bit, Lord, about the trying of our faith. Lord, we'll work patience. And patience, Lord, in that you will give wisdom and all understanding. And God, we thank you and we love you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we look at this tonight. And in James chapter 11, verse 1, we learn what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So with these teenagers, you know, they all come from different backgrounds of life. Some don't really understand how faith works. They've heard the gospel. They believe, you know, believe in Jesus Christ. They know that they're saved, but they still need the education that comes from the Word of God to learn how to work their faith so other people see it. But be patient in the process. Because if you ain't patient and you put the cart before the horse, it's horrible. Right. You know, you're going to stumble somewhere. You may cause someone else to stumble. And through that, God will give you wisdom beyond all understanding. That way we can learn and they can learn how to go out and be able to function in a world that is just horrible right now. Send them into the battlefield prepared. Just like new converts. You got a new convert, don't neglect them. Stay with them. Work with them. Be Philip. Philip saw the Ethiopian struggling with Scripture. What did Philip do? God reached over and whispered to him, and Philip ran. He didn't hesitate or anything. So we take just small portions of Scripture like this, and we dissect it and do an exegesis on it, or whatever word you, expository, I don't know. But we'll break the Scripture down and teach them. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Well, you know, a lot of teenagers do not know what that word divers means. So you have to break that verse down and tell them, say, look, divers temptations means many in everything that you do. You're going to be tempted in all ways, in all walks, in all things that you do. Whether you're sitting and playing on your phone, watching TV, and a bad commercial comes on, a phone call, hanging out with your buddies, which up there, there's not many places to hang out at, but they still, you know, can get together and hang out. But be careful, because Satan is going to tempt you in each way he can. But be prepared. We also teach them in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. A workman that need rightly dividing the word of truth need not be ashamed. I probably said that all backwards, but it's all there. And they're like, well, what do you mean by that, Mr. Baker? And I'm like, you need to be studied. You need to be so ingrained into the word of God that you know when that temptation's coming. And you will have your armor on when it gets there. To try your faith. And we learn that in the next verse. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. Well, if you don't go through temptations, your faith's never going to be tried. But count it all joy. Why? Because you learn. And you grow. They have the same options that we do, and it can be a blessing or a curse. The Lord give it to us, and that's a choice. We as adults still make bad choices sometimes. I do. I'm not going to sit up here and kick on nobody else. I'm going to kick on myself. I still make bad choices sometimes. But then you need to teach them, hey, look, this bad choice didn't just affect me. It affected my family. It will probably affect my friends. It will affect others in church. It will affect others in the community. So try your faith. These temptations are coming. Count it joy when they get there, especially if you're prepared. Don't ever go out ill-prepared. So knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have what? Her perfect work. If you're patient and waiting on the Lord, what are you doing? This one's one that a lot of teenagers, a lot of new converts don't understand. When you wait on the Lord, what are you doing? You're serving Him. So you let faith have her perfect work, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Be patient and work for God. Be patient and speak to one another as God would speak to you. Treat each other as God would treat you. And that way your patience is worked and used. Faith without works is dead. James writes that in his book. The working part of faith is your patience and serving the Lord. And in that, you will gain in knowledge and wisdom. And you will grow in that. When I think about the wisdom part of it, I think about, let's see here, I've went past some of my notes. I think about Samson. Not Samson, but Solomon. Solomon asked for patience beyond all understanding. When he asked that, and you find that in the book of Chronicles, in 1 Chronicles, where he asked the Lord for that, for wisdom. And you'll see it later on in the book of Kings, where he grants that wisdom. And why did Solomon ask for that? Out of all the things that we can have in the world, what is the best thing that we could ever ask for? Is wisdom and knowledge in the Lord. So that our faith works, our patience, and our patience turns into more wisdom. It's clockwork, you know, and we teach them that. Which, you know, all that put together leads me to my last point. In Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and great powers, his understanding is infinite. If we're going to get that, we have to try our faith to grow our patience so that we can get some of that understanding that's infinite. Psalm 147:4 says, he telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by name. Wouldn't you want to learn from that? That's where I would want to learn all my wisdom from, is from the Lord that calls all the stars by names. To me, that's beautiful. And he even remembered to make somebody like me along the way. Psalms 50, verse 10 and 11 says, this is more knowledge that the Lord has. For every beast of the forest is mine, is his, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. It all belongs to him. The more we grow and know that, the more we appreciate what he's done for us when we go out in public. When we go out and you go outside and you look at the trees and you listen to the birds. And one thing I told Heidi that I really wanted to hear when I got back here is right after a rainstorm to listen to the frogs and crickets. That's the one thing I miss from North Carolina. That's it. It's a good evening to sit out in under a shade tree and drink sweet tea or a cup of coffee and listen to the frogs and crickets. Because it's a beautiful sound that he's given that's relaxing. And appreciate what God's done for you. And in that, you will understand what God done when he sent his son to the cross for you. And shed his blood for you willingly. In the book of Isaiah, it talks in chapter 53, I believe. It talks about Jesus going to the slaughter like a lamb, dumb. A lot of people misunderstand that. They thought he was stupid or ignorant. No, that word means quiet. He went willingly for your soul along with mine. And in that, we learn infinite wisdom by doing what? Studying to show ourselves approved. A workman. And I emphasize on that word, a workman, because we all have a job to do. We all have a job to do. No matter who you are, where you sit at and what pew, where you stand at in the church or in the line at Walmart or across the gas pump, we all have a job to do. You can't get that unless you have a little faith. You got to have a little bit of patience. And therefore, you'll gain the wisdom that God will give you to learn how to live in the world that we live in now. And I'll close with this little story. A man was being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy street. Suddenly the light turned yellow just in front of him and he did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk. The tailgating woman hit the roof and the horn screaming as she missed her chance to get through the intersection. This ain't just, I'm not picking on women, men do this too. I'm stepping on my toes with this one too. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a police officer. He took her to the police station where she was placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, the policeman opened the cell door and said, I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, and the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car. Let faith and patience have their perfect work so that we gain in wisdom and knowledge to carry ourselves as a child of Christ in public, and we will end up like this lady in this car. All right, let's bow our heads. And we ask Mr. Danny to come tonight and close the sermon service out tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, for allowing us to be here. We take this short moment, Lord, of invitation, God, Lord, tonight. Lord, that you work. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's unsettled, Lord, that they need to talk to you, Lord, that they'll come here to this old-fashioned altar, Lord, and just bow before you, Lord, and get it settled. Lord, we pray if there's one here that's lost tonight, Lord, or one there at the live stream that's lost, God, Lord, that they will come to someone, Lord, and let someone take the Bible and show them in God's word what God says, Lord, about salvation. Lord, how they can come to know a beautiful personal Savior like we do. Lord, that their name could be written in the book of life. Lord, another place filled there that Satan can't get his hands on. And God, I pray, Lord, tonight you continue to bless this church, bless these people. Lord, continue to grow them in faith. Lord, let their faith work into patience. Lord, let their patience be serving you. Lord, that they gain in wisdom. God, that we all go out and we carry your name and show your name to everyone. God, Lord, by our works, Lord, by our actions, Lord, how we carry ourselves and how we speak to one another and to others that are out there. We thank you, God, for all that you do for us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.